With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here we are at the top of the hill.
What's up, what's up? It is podcast time. The Alt in Our Stars is the name of this podcast. I'm Chris Payne, I'm your host, and we're here in the Billboard New York office with All Time Low. What's up, guys?
What a clever name. By the way, the Alt in Our Stars.
Thank you. You like it?
Are you getting that?
Great show name.
I read it on like, you know, we get what we're supposed to do every day, and I read it, and I was like, Alt it. And I didn't really get it, and then as you said it, I was like, oh, that's good.
You're like,
that's clicking.
Yeah, now it's clicking.
All coming together.
And you're like, that dude's podcasts will not be nearly as funny 2 years from now.
Damn it. Just keep.
I'm
keep
counting on that. I'm counting on that sequel. I'm counting on Ridley's career going on.
Come on. You're like the one guy just showing up in Hollywood. Yeah. Like, you got to make this film.
Make the third one, please.
I've never seen it. Have you guys?
No.
No.
I think it's supposed to be really sad, right?
Yeah.
It's like a big bummer.
My fiance really likes it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So it's got to be good.
So it's got to be great. Mm-hmm. She's got great taste.
And you guys have movie. We'll talk about this later. I want to start with the new album. But you guys have movie things. Big screen in the works.
Yeah.
It's weird. Super weird to be a part of anything like that.
It's sort of, you know, it's peripherally. It's not like we're the stars or anything.
Yeah, we were written into the movie. The movie kind of, it's called Fangirl, and it sort of like revolves around this high school girl who's not really sure where she's going in life, and but she knows she loves making movies. And so she's doing a film class, and her kind of final project for the year is to try and make like some kind of documentary or something. And she loses all her footage, and then at the last second decides to make something, basically chasing our band down because we're in town playing a show. And so you got these two storylines of her being a big fan of the band and just wanting to come to the show, but then also trying to make this movie. And it's just fun. It kind of reminds me of like Mean Girls sort of
vibe.
Okay,
I like that.
It's got like that sort of like kind of youthful tongue-in-cheek sort of thing, which is what kind of, when we read the script, I was like, yeah, this is hilarious and awesome.
It was cool for us because, you know, we were basically playing on stage. That was when we were all in the movies, we were a performance scene, and we're so used to doing that in a music video where like they need, you know, 15 shots up close of me playing drums, 30 of Alex singing.
Yeah,
but in this one we're kind of just in the back, so they're just like, yeah, just go ahead and do your thing.
It was so
we
easy.
Got it, and we're like, oh, this is easy.
It was so easy. I was nervous that I had like one little scene that I do like separate of the band, and that was weird because it was like actual acting, and I'm not an actor.
Wow,
you know,
you said that now you'll see him in the film.
Once you see
the
film, it will probably establish me as an actor, and I'll probably win some awards for it. But no, like you're standing around people who actually do that for a living, and they're actually talented,
right?
And then there's me just like shuffling my feet. The director's like, stop looking into the camera, stop looking into the camera.
Stop changing your voice so much. What? This is how I talk.
This is normal for me. So it was, yeah, it was a little intimidating. But Kiernan, the girl who plays the lead, is super, super awesome. And she's really cool in it and funny. And Meg Ryan's in it, which is cool. I've always wanted to, you know, be, ever since Top Gun, I've always wanted to be in a movie with Meg Ryan. So that's, I finally,
the only reason we started
dream.
This band was to get a weird route to being in a movie with
somehow
Meg Ryan.
Intersect with Meg Ryan.
We had the start point, the end point. We just didn't know how to get there, but we did it.
It's like 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
6 degrees from Meg Ryan.
And you guys appear as yourselves. You are All Time Low.
Correct.
In the movie.
Yeah, we play ourselves, which is also nice because there's no, again, not as much pressure with the acting.
And I think a lot of the movie was inspired because the writer of the movie came to an all-time low show with her kids and was just like, wow, this is, you know, this kind of needs to be spoken about in a way. Just the rabid fan base. And,
yeah, and it's just a cool voice to do it, cool medium to do it. Like, it's not as obvious as you might think going the route that they did. It's cool.
And it seems like even though you guys aren't in the movie a ton maybe, if this fan is the main character of the movie and she's so obsessed with you, there must be a lot of all-time low still in the movie, even if you guys aren't on screen.
And they did the research, too. Like, our crew guys, the guy that tour with us, like, their names are in it and stuff.
It's kind of cool because, you know, on the outside, to any normal watcher, it's a great great fun movie. But then if you're, like, an all-time low fan, there's all these little Easter eggs throughout of just, like, little anecdotes and stuff that people might, you know, unless you're a diehard all-time low fan, might not know. But they dropped those in there. Right. It was very clever how they did it. It was cool.
Cool, cool. So, got the movie out there. More pertinent things, the album.
Yeah.
Today.
Future Hearts.
Yes.
Future Hearts.
Yes.
Today, Tuesday, April 7th.
Yes, sir.
This will be up on Friday when it actually goes live. But today is the day that we're talking about the new album. So, for people out there who have not gone through it's five album released, like six.
Yeah, I mean, five full lengths, six with we had an EP.
Yeah,
technical stuff.
But 5.5.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
So for people who haven't gone through multiple album cycles, what is this day like? How is it different from a normal day in the band, or is it?
I mean,
a little different.
No, it's very different. I mean, we spent a lot of last year working on this album, you know, and there's a lot of. You try not to admit that there's pressure and expectations and things like that, but there is, you know, we want to accomplish a lot of things. And so, you know, when this day finally comes, you're kind of like, I've been super overwhelmed with the reaction of it. So it's been really cool kind of watching the excitement bubble up and people talking about it.
And it is tough to gauge because each time a record comes out, you feel like it's the most, you know, anticipated and the most talked about, but it's something about this one, more so than the previous ones. It just feels like there's a lot more buzz around it and there's a lot more excitement. But with that comes a lot more expectation, which, of course, can cause anxiety, lack of sleep and all that.
Hair,
but,
balding.
Yeah. But it's amazing, man. It's great to be able to, you know, be here in New York on release day and go to a lot of different press outlets and do all that. And tomorrow we're off to London. It's like we're releasing a movie. We're just doing the whole press run for it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's really fun. And the coolest thing is just, like I said, like seeing the, you know, we have a really awesome fan base and a really kind of rabid vocal fan base. And so just seeing that kind of reaction and seeing it sort of, you know, my Twitter lights up and the Facebook lights up and all these things, people start reacting. That's the coolest thing. People have been sending me pictures of like where the album's charting on iTunes, like all over the world and stuff like that. And that's always really rad. Like, you know, I think it's like,
yeah.
And it's just, you know, I think we were number one in Kazakhstan. We got an email saying we were number one in Kazakhstan.
So we did it.
So we pretty much made it.
We could stop now.
Yeah. Meg Ryan and Kazakhstan are like the two big things for us.
But it's tough because when you're making a record throughout the entire process, you're so in it that you love the record. I mean, it is all you do. You live and breathe the new record. And then you surround yourself with people that are going to go ahead and say, this is a great record. You know, our manager's not going to say, this thing sucks. Well, he might, but not to our face.
And behind us right now.
Yeah, family and best friends aren't going to be like, it was better last time. So you just love the record, and everyone around you loves it. But until it comes out, you don't really get a real reaction. And so as of now, you know, the record's only been out 12 hours or so, but so far it's just been super, super positive. So, you know, unless that initial fan base is the only one that like it, we're in good shape right now.
Yeah, because like I think back to what it was like when I was in high school and getting really excited to go out and buy CDs. And then I think like with maybe more people my age, our age, that they're more into streaming now. But I definitely get the impression with you guys, like the fan base still buys a lot of physical CDs and vinyl too now.
Right, yeah, and even if it's just as like a novelty, you know, they might only buy it online and then just buy the record just so they have it.
I definitely think there's been a resurgence of especially with, like you said, with vinyl. There's kind of this, there's a novelty thing. So I think, you know, a lot of people are getting it and owning it digitally, but then also, making a point to go out and being like, well, I want the artwork. I want the pictures. I want, you know, I want to nail the record to my wall, even if, you know, that's the only thing you do with it. But it's still cool that you can go out and have that.
We've always been super forward in the fact that we don't really care how you listen to our music. We care that you come out to shows and you do listen to our music. You talk about us. So we're happy with, you know, purchasing it, streaming it, downloading it illegally, like I do with our music.
Don't say that.
Just with our music. I only download our music illegally.
Oh, fair enough. That's fine. You've earned that.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
And you guys have this giveaway thing going on with the pre-sales where there were Polaroid pictures and randomly inserted, and the people who get those special copies get a meet and greet. That's
yeah,
it, right?
I don't want to say that we ripped off Taylor Swift, but we ripped off Taylor Swift.
You know,
right there.
I didn't even think of that.
We totally did. Oh, totally.
And I probably should have, because
I
worked
at
Billboard.
I think at the end of the day, Taylor Swift ripped
us. She probably bit us.
She probably heard us talking about
we
it.
We were talking about this years ago, and she probably
overheard us in a bar in Nashville.
You can't, nothing's safe. Nothing is safe.
But it is kind of a cool idea. It reminds me when we were, you know, when I was in, maybe it was high school or middle school, Blink put out Take Off Your Pants. And they had three different colored records, and I wanted to go out and be like, I want all three, and the same type thing. I'm not going to listen to all three differently, but I want all three just so I can have them. And it's the same type thing. Like, it just kind of makes it like a collector's item almost.
I remember,
you know?
People go like actually being at the store, and like there was a certain angle that you could hold that CD so that you could see the CD inside
the color,
and you knew which color you were getting. Because I think each one had a different song on it.
Yeah, the bonus tracks.
So there's like a reason to own each one. That was cool. I kind of like when bands do stuff like that. It just makes it interesting. And like, again, kind of makes it more of a collector's piece rather than just a CD, you know, a coaster.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, and with the giveaway, I'm wondering when, because it's the grand prize is a meet and greet. What do you guys? How does that go? What do you normally talk about when just random fans come up?
That's a funny thing, because generally we do meet and greets. It's like, you know, 50 people. We do them every day at our shows, and it's, you know, we don't do it like most bands. We don't sit at a table and just sign. We just hang out in a room and talk to the fans, and that, you know, you have 30 minutes to get through 50 people or so. With one-on-one, or one-on-four, I guess it would be, it's always, like, I think fans are often, like, a little too excited, and they get out of there, and I just imagine them being like, I didn't say anything
that
whole time.
I didn't say a damn
word. I just stared at them. And then, so, you know, it varies.
It's hard to break the ice.
And we've been there.
It is,
I mean, we've all met people that we look up to. But
you got
to
do it.
Yeah, so hopefully, like, the fan that wins it, or, you know, we if it's a one-person meet and greet, we definitely try to do something a little special. Bring back to the dressing room to the bus, not in like a weird way.
Oh yeah, it's weird.
But yeah,
that's the opportunity that they're going to be winning when they win. It's
maybe we can have a drink with them.
Mm. Yeah, that's always fun when you get someone of legal drinking age.
It's the only way to break the ice.
And then,
really,
and it's like, here, have a whiskey. Let's talk about life.
What are you, 16? All right, fine.
Take out mom and dad for a whiskey
after
the show.
That's what it is. Honestly, it's always the fan and then mom, or mom and dad, dad, and we just end up talking to the parents. As the kid just takes photos from far away.
It's a different generation, different world we live in.
When you think of those, I'm sure there have been probably thousands of fans you've meted and greeted. Are there any ones that are just really memorable? Like, oh, yeah, that time.
You know what? There's actually a lot of really cool stuff with our fans. First of all, we've had some people that have been with us for years, which is the coolest thing. Like, there's a lot of our fans who I'm, like, very much familiar with at this point.
And
this is, like, all over the world. Like, there are people who have followed us around the world. There are people who, you know, like, when we go to Paris or when we go to Italy or when we go to Australia, like, I know that I'm going to see, like, this one group of people, and they're always going to be front row, and they're just without fail always there. And I think that's really cool.
It's comforting in a way. It's like, you know, I always say, like, when I go overseas or something, it's nice to see Starbucks or, like, the Apple Store, just because it gives you a little bit of sense of comfort.
They are our Starbucks.
They are our Starbucks, yeah. One was there
last
night,
I'm not getting paid to say that.
A little promo.
Yeah, right. Starbucks.
I mean, there is an empty Starbucks venti, I think.
That's a grande.
Grande?
It's a grande iced coffee, right? One pump classic.
You better be getting paid for this, Ryan.
It's a ice cold...
There's also a small Poland Spring bottle of water on the table right now, so no one gets slighted.
The only choice
so
for true refreshment.
That's good.
Yeah. There's no way to make that sound like.
No, it's so gross.
It just sounds like a bong or something.
Like up the throat.
It's nasty. Fans. But yeah, also, like, fans often give us gifts, and through that, they kind of can create a memorable experience. There's this one girl in England, Holly Chapman is her name, and
Holly,
she creates
the most
unbelievable, I call it fan art, but it's really just really good art.
Mm-hmm. She does these really cool, like, cartoons.
Cartoon, yeah. And it's amazing style. And I really hope, like, you know, we try to tweet her as much as we can and give her some notoriety because she really should have a future in that. So, like, things mm-hmm. like that, and you get to kind of use our platform to hopefully help out other people's talents.
Right. What about all-time low fan fiction? Did anyone ever do that?
Oh, my God, dude.
There's a world. There's a dark world out there.
Dark. Dark's the way to put it. Like, I'm all about, like, oh, Alex has sex with a fan or something, and that's the fan fiction. But this is, like, weird, like... Like really personal stuff.
It's very dark. There's an interesting, strange corner of the internet that thrives on fan fiction, and I don't go there often.
When we were first starting off, we were like, "Yeah, check this out. This is funny." And then we're like, "Yeah, what?"
And then it's like,
where?
It's like me going down on the cast of Harry Potter.
Yeah,
those are the fan fictions we get.
The detail is really what
the level. It puts 50 Shades of Grey to shame.
Yeah, it's just like, uncomfortable.
It's not your mom's romance novel.
No, it's with a nice jacked guy in the front of
it's
it.
It's a little more smutty.
It's let's put it weird. That
way. And I rarely use the word smutty because that's something because
it's not 1940. You're looking at that damn schmutt again.
Yeah, schmutt.
Schmutt. Mom, it's Sports Illustrated. Oh, Mom.
Where are you going with this?
My mom used to hide Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions when they would come because I was Sports Illustrated. And
you subscribed to it, so they just came.
Well, they would come like once a month. You'd get Sports Illustrated, and then once a month I wouldn't. I'd be like, "Where'd it go?" And my mom would be like, "The mailman must have forgotten it. Just we'll wait for next month." Later, I realized she was hiding this swimsuit edition.
It was probably Dennis.
Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about that later. We can read about that in the fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty out there.
Huh. So,
do you have any fan fiction?
No, I do not have.
Would you like to read us?
Would you like to read us? Some?
We're always at billboard.com talking about maybe just posting fan fiction, but that never
a fan fiction blog.
I would probably crush all our souls and make us feel terrible, but that would probably do pretty well.
Yeah, hey.
If you touch on
the right teen franchise, a little bit of like 5 Seconds of Summer, Harry Potter, Divergent, if you just touch on all of them,
Divergent, yep. Somehow make them all in one.
It's the perfect storm.
That's one thing I don't really support is the fan fiction. I can't get into it. It's just so creepy to me.
It's heavy. It's definitely heavy.
And it's never about me. It's always Alex and Jack.
Jealous.
There it is. It's out.
He's just upset that he's never featured.
God, no, I'm just going to get an influx of weird fan fiction.
Damn it.
Me and Voldemort.
That'd be a good one. I'd read that. I'll write it tonight.
So anyway, let's talk about the album.
Okay,
yeah, man.
So less smutty topics
less
of discussion.
More rock.
Yeah, yeah. So with so many albums now, when you put the set list together for when you tour behind this pretty soon, like what songs from the new album, because you can't play, well, maybe you could, but without disowning the rest of the catalog, right. You're probably going to have to pick and choose from the new album. So which songs do you think will get played and why?
That's a tough question to answer because, I mean, at first it's kind of obvious. Like we put out a few singles before the record came out, and so we were touring during that time, and it's sort of just easy, like you play the stuff that's out because that's what people are going to know. But now that the whole record's out and like we're seeing, you know, people start tweeting at us about like what their favorite songs are, and you know, you kind of watch like the little popularity spikes on like the digital downloads and stuff like that, we do try to like figure out what's gonna go off the best. Like we're really, our live show is very heavily based on crowd interaction and sort of catering to our audience and stuff like that. So we always want to, you know, put the best songs forward. So it's going to be an interesting like time sort of figuring out what works best for our show.
It's a big balance between what we think we should play and what the fans, you know, want to hear, and figuring out which songs translate best. But
I always want to play like the weird shit that no one wants to hear.
Yeah.
But that's
truly like it. It's true. We have 6 records, so figuring out a set list that isn't 4 hours long is really difficult. And you don't want to play the same songs over and over again that you've been playing for the past 10 years. But you know, I think we do a pretty good job, and we tour enough that, like, you know, we tour generally 2 or 3 times in the States per year, so we can kind of sprinkle in new ones every now and again. But we also don't want to be the band that puts out a new record, like you said, and that's all you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're still very much sort of committed to our old catalog as well.
Totally.
And I think we do a good job of spreading it out.
It keeps it fun, too, like with the old stuff. I mean, even, like you said, like when there's songs that you've been playing for 7 years or whatever, even if they are getting a little stale to you, if it's the ones that are going off live, like it kind of keeps it fresh, you know, just seeing the crowd's reaction.
Right.
That they're always not, keeps it fun.
You have to always keep in mind, they're not hearing it as often as you're playing
exactly.
it. Like if I go to see Foo Fighters and they don't play Everlong, I'd be like, oh man, but I've only heard that live like 3 or 4 times, even though they've probably played it 900 times. So you have to think of it like that. Like just because you play it every day doesn't mean the fans are hearing it
but
every
day. But they always play it.
They always play it.
Now take a cue
Love
from,
you, Dave.
Take a cue from Grohl.
That's a fan fiction I'd read.
Yeah, and actually, my favorite song on the album was the last track. Name escapes me. It was something.
Old Scars Future Hearts.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of times the last song is kind of one that gets forgotten.
Sometimes.
I think that one would come off really well live.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Yeah, it's that one's definitely like kind of a high energy. We wrote that one with the live show in mind for sure. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the last ones, too, that we actually wrote.
Yeah. Perfect record closer. That's the other thing for us. I feel like the last tracks sometimes do get buried on an album, but I feel like we've always made a point to try and end our records like on a high.
It kind of makes I like the thought of ending a record and like being re-energized and be like, okay, let's do it again.
Yeah,
like,
I want to start that over.
Not like, okay, time for bed.
Right.
Cool. So let's play a little bit of one of those singles on the album. It's Kids in the Dark. They left us alone, the kids in the dark, to burn out forever. So another thing I wanted to ask about the album, like as you guys are getting older, like Alex, you said you're engaged now. Do you ever find it challenging to write lyrics that your younger fans, like maybe the more teenage fans, can still connect to and music they can connect to?
Yes and no. I think it's been kind of interesting working on this record because this record really does we sort of pulled from the past on a lot of the content. Like I kind of thought back to when I was first graduating high school, first starting this band, first getting out on tour, all these kinds of moments that led us to where we are now. And there's a lot of the songs that I sort of tried to write from a perspective of being my younger self. I think specifically like there's a song like "Don't You Go" on the record that is written from. I tried to write that with the voice of a 19-year-old me, and so I think that helps. And then I think also like some of the stuff that the record deals with is pretty universal. I think there's stuff that is going on in my life that I think as long as you write about it the right way, as long as I'm not like fucking taxes, I think there's a way to kind of
planning songs.
Yeah, right. Like,
songs about the registry.
I don't want to pay for flowers, man. No, like just shit like that where you can kind of craft things in a way that keeps it open-ended enough that anybody can listen to it and sort of latch onto it and relate it back to their own trials and tribulations, I suppose.
Yeah, I've always felt that lyrics that you connect with the most, they might not necessarily be written about what you're attributing them to, you know what I mean? Like, so in his case, in that sense, these fans will kind of attach themselves to those lyrics based on what they're going through at the time. And then a year later, it might be something else. So, yeah.
Yeah, you hope that connects. Mm-hmm. But then, it's like, again, I think you always have to, I think if you write honestly as well, people are going to find a way to relate.
Yeah.
I think there's ways to do it that like, you don't have to be, I'm trying to think of an example, like when Springsteen makes a new record, he's not writing about like getting a prostate exam and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like there's ways to write around.
That is a song we could all relate to.
Hey, there's a market out there for a prostate exam song. Maybe it'll be on our next record.
Yeah, and like I just thought of with Blink, they're coming up again. They probably do a lot of interviews with you guys. But when they were making like, I think from Enema to Jacket to Self-Titled, they were really connecting with like the teenage crowd. And they were like around your age at that time.
Yeah.
I thought it came off really naturally. Sometimes you'd think like, huh, he's singing about like being, was he even 23 when he?
No.
Yeah,
because they wrote that record when they were like 28.
Yeah. So it's like, huh? But
there are
times.
Yeah,
like, totally, it works.
And it kind of just makes you think, like, okay, well, there was a time that he was 23, or there was a time when he was in college age.
He was once 23.
Yeah, so it just makes sense as long as the music around it fits it and everything. You don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And the lead in there, well, Mark's on the album.
Yeah, yeah, man.
How about that?
Yeah, really cool. We were super lucky with this record that we got a couple of our buddies who we used to really look up to, still look up
still
to.
There, yeah.
But it's kind of come full circle, and we got a couple him, Mark and Joel from Good Charlotte, on the record, and yeah, it's really cool when you kind of can work and collaborate with people that you're close with, people that you're friends with. I think that's always, to me, that's always cooler than just reaching out to some random popular name at the time and be like, hey, do you want to sing on this song, like, for no reason?
Especially when it makes sense, like, especially with Mark's case, lyrically, it just fits so well, and it was just such a perfect setup there. So
yeah, so that was a big one for us, because like I said, it was, you know, I spent many years in my room trying to play Blink songs, so it's cool to see it come around.
And the way it happened was really cool too, in that it wasn't in like a really big studio with an engineer behind the desk and a producer in the room. It was just it was me, Alex, Jack, and Mark at Mark's house doing the vocal, and so the fact that it was just that, it was very intimate, very cool, and you know, Alex could kind of direct Mark the way he wanted, and it was amazing. And yeah, his voice is perfect for the song. Great time. Love you, Mark.
Indeed.
Love you so much.
We love you so much, Mark.
And it's called Tidal Waves. And we'll play a little bit of it in a second. But just wanted to backtrack, because you guys, like, I remember when you guys first started out, you guys were always sort of tied with Blink and how much they inspired you guys. Yeah. Like, I remember when you guys did the underwear photo shoot, kind of reminiscent of the What's My Age Again video all that. I remember reading some article, I think it was on Absolute Punk, that on some school there were, you had folders, I think, that had that picture on it.
Yeah.
And
they were
banned in the school.
Yeah, some girl got suspended for having the picture. I remember that now. Holy crap. Yep. Yeah, we reached out to the school and
we were probably our fault.
we were probably
like, you know what? You don't understand.
You don't need school.
You don't understand punk rock like we do, Principal Patskowski. You don't need it.
Yeah, I felt so bad about that, because she, like, I don't even think she was, like, trying to be a dick about it. She
it was just
like,
in opened her locker, her, I think. Yeah.
She, like, opened her binder, and someone saw it and thought she had porn or something.
I love the idea of her having porn just lining her locker.
Just on her locker.
Just a bunch of naked dudes. She's the she's the one that writes the fan fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, Blink definitely. I mean, when we started this band, our idea was, you know, and we still to this day is, you know, let's take the music and take the live show when we actually play really seriously. Let's not suck live. But we're still in a band. We're not accountants. We're not doing this as a job. It's fun. So we can always have fun with it. So Blink, you know, their live show is a huge influence and still is. Green Day is the same way. Foo Fighters, all those guys, just they all have fun on stage. It's not like they're being forced to go up there.
And yeah, I saw, like, growing up and when we started this band, I saw so many bands that took themselves so seriously on stage, and there was kind of like almost this atmosphere of like, do these guys even want to be here right now?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, I sort of swore that when we started music, like, I never wanted to do that, you know? Like, I wanted to write music that connected with people in a serious way, but not, you know, not celebrate the other end of that and go up and be like, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on a more, like, you know, selfish level, it also makes fans want to come back and see you next time, because they're not just watching the record live with, you know, they have to be there to experience the actual live show, because it is an experience. It's not just us playing. It's a whole show.
Yeah, you don't. I never want to go to a show and just see a band play the record
right
verbatim. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's more fun when there's a little bit of like
banter between songs,
an unknown. Yeah, just something different for sure to change it up.
A little spunk,
indeed.
Yeah,
pizzazz,
pizzazz.
And, you know, with the drama they've had lately, do you think Mark from, you know, I don't know if how much you've kept in touch with them, but do you think they're in a good place now moving forward, keep doing Blink things?
I really do. I think the move is best for everyone involved. I mean, I don't know enough about it to really speak on it too much, but, you know, I think Blink is going to do great things going forward the way they are. And I think, you know, Tom seems to have his mindset on these other things that don't necessarily line up with what Blink was trying to do. So I'm happy for both parties involved, you know, kind of taking a step back and, like, you know, reevaluating and doing their own thing. And I think Skiba brings something really cool to Blink, like, as a fan of Alkaline Trio and as a fan of Blink, and the whole thing, like, really gets me excited. I know there are some people out there that are like, it's never going to be the same.
It's not Blink.
But, you know, I think the essence of what Blink is still there, and Skiba is such a talented dude and so good at writing. I think they're going to, if they do write a new record with that lineup, I think it's going
to
be awesome.
And if you watch those videos, I didn't get to go to the shows, but you watch the videos of them on stage, and it looks like they're having the time of their lives. Mm-hmm. So
it looks fresh. Yeah, yeah, it looks
it's fresh. So hopefully, you know, everyone's happier than they were a month or 2 months ago, whenever it was, and the, you know, the future is happy on all fronts. Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Like I heard Matt Skiba was on Mark's podcast, and it just sounded like, I think it was just like in a break from rehearsing. They sound like they're having a blast, and like it won't really be the same Blink.
No,
but at the same time, it's just really cool. Like
exactly, it's like
I think I liked Alkaline even more than Blink.
You know?
So it was.
It is cool. It's really you just have to accept the fact that Tom's not up there. It's still Blink 182 songs. It's still Blink 182. Just a new take on it.
Totally. I think they're all really good friends. So I think there's going to be cool chemistry there. And like I said, I think if they do write new music under that, like kind of with that lineup, I think it's going to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So let's play a little bit of Tidal Waves featuring Mark Hoppus.
Tell me how you really feel. Write it on the bathroom wall. If anyone was watching, I know you'd say nothing at all.
We should probably talk about make the connection with the Baltimore punks. You got the Orioles shirt on there. Yes. Alex.
Dude, I get so bummed out. There's like this new trend of people wearing Orioles stuff.
Because they're good now.
And that, well, just it's, the logo. It's awesome. But like people like have latched on to just the logo. Like I'll be overseas or something and I'm like, oh, Orioles hat. Go Orioles. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
All the time. I live in California. All the time I'll see Orioles hats. I'm like, hey, man, you from Baltimore? They'd be like, no, why? I'm like, oh my God.
But yes, we got a lot of hometown love. I think Baltimore is one of those cities that when you're from Baltimore, you're sort of, even though it's a small city and you know, for in the past, it hasn't really been known for the greatest things. So like
The Wire.
Yeah. I mean, when we say Baltimore, the first thing anyone ever says is, oh, The Wire.
It's you do heroin.
Yeah. It's like, that's exactly what it's like. But at this, no, like it's one of those sort of small towns that, small cities that is, first of all, it's coming up in a really cool way. Mm-hmm. But second, there's a lot of pride. People are very proud from Baltimore.
Yeah. You and the Maddens on the album.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And so it was really cool to get that Maryland tie in there. You know, again, that was sort of a band that we grew up listening to, and they sort of took us under their wing at an early age and like sort of showed us the ropes. And
those dudes have always been like, they're intimidating looking guys, like they're not. But they've always been the nicest, absolute nicest people, always helping us out and guiding us along the way. And
yeah, they're some of the best people around. So
and so talented.
It was, yeah, Joel and I actually wrote that song together. We wrote another song that's, I think it's a bonus track on one of the versions of the record too that I wrote with Joel and Benji.
How the story ends.
And it's kind of cool because I feel like both songs sort of capture like sort of airs of what they've done in the past. You know, I think there's this song, the bonus track, How the Story Ends, really has like a nod to like older Good Charlotte and stuff on it. And then Bail Me Out sort of has this feeling of like kind of what they've been doing with the Madden Brothers.
Yeah, summer vibe.
And we wanted to write just this kind of like more recent Clash-esque kind of police-y sort of thing that was just kind of like a feel-good. Someone called it surf rock, which really weirded me out because I never thought that. But it was cool. And we wrote it and I sang it myself. And when I sang the whole song, I was like, needs Joel. Like Joel sounded so good on this, so we asked him if he'd be a part of it, and he came back and laid down vocals, and it works way better as a
duet. Yeah, it's a cool way to do it too. It's not just like he does a verse; like it's kind of back
and forth.
Sort
of switch off,
and the voices work well.
It makes the song really fun. I just think it's like an interesting listen, and it's something a little bit different for our band.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm into it. I love those guys, and there you will never meet anyone that has more Maryland pride than
really.
Oh my gosh,
they are. They are into it.
Yeah,
they're intense.
And where they're from, Maryland. I'm not a bad area, but it's not like Baltimore. It's a little bit far off.
They're from like kind of outside of Baltimore. They were from Waldorf. Right?
Yeah, and their pride is so strong. It's
Maryland
great.
Pride because they're like, and the thing is, they're closer to DC too. So they have like Baltimore and DC pride, which are two very like gnarly kind of like
very pride filled
Washington. DC is also people are very proud there as well. So it's they get both. They're like Redskins, Ravens, and Orioles, everything.
And let's be real, there's not a ton of music that makes it out of Baltimore. There's really not.
Yeah, that's true. Cisco.
She works for Cisco. Good Charlotte, us. You know, we made it out. It was a band, SO71.
We made it out. Yeah,
it's like, just not that much. So when
it's a wasteland.
Yeah. Well, when you get to, you know, expand your career beyond the tri-state area, Maryland, Virginia, all that, there is a certain amount, there's a certain club that you fit into. And
yeah, I mean, there are like a, it's a small handful of bands that made it. I think who
Jimmy's Chicken Shack,
OAR.
Mm-hmm. OAR,
OAR,
yeah.
Is from Maryland. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely some names that are they're easily like recognizable, but it's not a ton. Like it's not like a New Jersey or a Detroit or a, you know,
California
or anything like that where there's just a million.
New York.
I've heard of it. The Giant Peach. Yeah, so it's cool. It's cool to be we're proud to be from there, and it's cool to be, you know, one of those bands that has had a go from Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah. I remember last year I did this big project where I tried to find a musician fan of every Major League Baseball team. And I interviewed them and had them preview the season. And Joan Jett was apparently a huge Baltimore Orioles fan.
Yeah,
really?
So she was my Orioles rep.
That's amazing. I heard that. That's
Is she from Maryland?
I don't know.
We'll look this up while we're going
think
here.
She
I forget the backstory of it, but I know she did the fantasy camp with the Orioles back in the 80s, so she actually like played with ex-players.
So rad.
She's really into it.
Go Joan Jett.
Go Joan.
I support that.
Totally.
I support you, Joan.
Baltimore pride.
Yeah, it's again, very if you have some kind of connection, there's usually a lot of pride there tied to it. And
she's from Pennsylvania. Okay, yeah, so it's right there.
Close enough. All right, I'll take it. Way to go, Joan.
Thanks, Joan.
We love you, John.
Oh, man. She's basically actually Maryland. Yeah, she's as east of Pennsylvania as you can be. We're going to claim Joan. You're ours, Joan.
Joan is ours. We got Joan.
So, yeah, that's pretty much everything I have at my end. So
awesome.
Yeah. New album, Future Hearts.
Dude, best one yet.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Thanks for coming down.
I appreciate it. I like it here. I kind of feel bad because this whole time we've been talking, I've been like just staring
at it.
Oh, it's a great view.
It's so rad.
I mean, it's like, kind of not the best day, kind of overcast and dreary, but
we played on
that's Empire State Building right there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Good. We played on the roof of there yesterday. We did an acoustic thing.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
It was kind of rad.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
I've never done anything like that. I hadn't been since I was like 11.
I've never been.
So that was kind
of. I've actually never been like to the base of it either.
I've never been. I've lived here for so.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you want to go, I know a guy. I can hook it up.
For real, though.
Seriously.
Thanks for having us on, though.
Yeah,
man.
For
this
sure.
Great. Very in depth. I liked it.
So that concludes another episode of the Alts in Our Stars podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast by clicking on the iTunes link towards the bottom of the store. You can also listen to archived episodes down there. Got Pete Wentz, New Politics, Screaming Females, lots of fun stuff. Check it all out. We'll be back next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend, guys. Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.